Michaela remembered when she had found out. It was the day of his arrest. It was 8:30 in the evening and she was going to visit her mother on Trondheimsgatan. It was early June, but the air had the chill of an October day, and the area outside the flats was full of people. When she got closer, upset faces turned toward her, and within the space of a few minutes, she had the highlights. Giuseppe Costa, or Beppe, as they called him, had killed a soccer referee. His son Mario's team, Bromma Poikana Academy, under-17s, had been playing, and toward the end of the second half, Beppe had run onto the field, heavily inebriated, and begun stirring things up, lashing out. It had taken 5 or 6 people to wrestle him onto the turf. Afterward, when everyone thought the situation had calmed down, he had reportedly followed the referee with a crazed look in his eyes. "That sounds completely insane," she said, and went up to her mother, who was on the walkway outside her flat, looking down at everyone below. Her mother had her long grey hair down and was wearing slippers without socks and a new loose floral blouse. There was a stiff breeze and she looked worried, as if she were afraid something had happened to one of her sons.
"De qué están hablando?" she said.
"They say Beppe's killed a soccer referee," Michaela replied. Her mother was relieved that Simon hadn't done something idiotic again or potentially fatal. Later, when they were eating dinner, she brought it up again.
"Only to be expected," she said.
Not that Michaela gave it much thought at the time. It was just the kind of thing people regurgitated, she assumed. But afterward it had bothered her. It suddenly felt as if Beppe had been born to kill a ref. The whole of Husby erupted with rumours and old stories that paved an inevitable path to murder, and perhaps that was why Michaela relayed other things too. One incident in particular that stood out. She'd been only 11 or 12 at the time, and back then she'd heard about Beppe pretty often. Fights, scenes at the bar in Husby, rowdiness and shouting from his flat. In those days, Simon, her eldest brother, was into hip-hop. Sometimes it felt as though hip-hop was the only thing not killing him. And like so many others, he was afraid of Beppe. The boys who played Eminem on their boomboxes, Beppe would kick them around the square. But Beppe must have realized that Simon was in desperate need of validation because he made some sort of approach, and one day he took him aside and they rehearsed. Later that night, Beppe stepped right up to the barbecue area outside the flats and whistled. He was going to do a song, he said.
"Not now! We don't feel like it," people shouted. "Shut your hole! I've got something special for you," he said, beckoning Simon over.
Simon waved dismissively and seemed just as awkward and lost as ever. But then he did a couple of dance moves she'd never seen before. And when he and Beppe rapped, "I'm the lost son with a life of crime, I'm the one they're calling in to 999, the song Simon had written, Michaela couldn't think of a time when people had shouted with so much glee outside the flats. It wasn't so strange, really. She guessed that all murderers had done good things too. Yet it lingered with her, a kind of unsolved mystery. She told the story a couple of times after the murder and eventually heard from Jonas Beyer that Beppe himself wanted to speak to her.
"Would you say there's a conflict of interest in your relationship with Costa?" Beyer asked.
"I don't know," she said. But Beyer didn't seem to hear her hesitation, instead telling her to establish contact and see if you can get him to talk. It was a long shot, of course. Nothing had worked so far. Costa had barely managed to stay on topic during questioning and hadn't even admitted to what everyone could see on the video footage from the game.